Anthony. We're in Las Vegas, but I feel like I'm in New York today.
It's a New York kind of day.
It's a New York kind of day. And we're also, I guess I should also feel like I'm in Chicago and D.C.
It's a Chicago kind of day.
It's a D.C.
kind of day. We're streaming in Oregon.
How was your show last night,
Mike? That was great, man.
Lance Burton. Oh, good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Taylor.
866-313-FREE, 866-313-3733, or penradio@gmail.com. And as we came in here, my wife and her friends were watching the view, which was taped.
You must
it
be out of breath
like it was
from
high
running
there.
Over.
Oh, yeah. Well, we taped it on Monday, as you know.
It was on seconds ago here in Vegas.
Just seconds ago. And I went in, I don't like to see myself on TV, but I had to go in and see Moxie on the big Jumbotron.
Your wife was adamant about it, I believe.
Yeah, she really wanted me to see. But I see Moxie
The baby
live.
Was right there. You had to look past the baby to see the TV screen.
That's the thing. Yeah, you look over the
can
baby.
Can you hold her down so I can see her on TV?
And I got some. We got some Gmails, didn't we, from people about Star Jones?
We did.
Asking, as the crusader that I am, asking, well, you can read it if you want.
I'm listening to Penn Radio show every day, and it's always, I wanted to see, let's try to figure out the where it actually was here. I was wondering if Penn knows that Star Jones from The View has said some really stupid things about atheists on the air. That's what Jake wanted to know. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I did not. Although you can kind of tell by looking at her. She has this kind of heavy-duty, closed-minded Christian vibe about her, you know. And she's not the person on The View that I relate to the most. She's also not the person on The View that I relate to the least. That would be Bonnie Hunt.
Bonnie Hunt's not there anymore.
She's not, but her memory still lingers. And I was out there with that microphone on my face.
Right.
And Star Jones is out there, and I didn't know it, but I mean, you could have guessed it, that Star Jones said on the air that she would not vote for an atheist for president.
Right, well, that seems fun.
She felt that atheists were not qualified. They were unqualified to... what she said was, let me see, but everybody was mad when I said on television, this is a quote from Star Jones, that I wouldn't vote for an atheist. But it's interesting that the oath of office of the president is with so help me God. So who would the atheists be talking to if they were given that oath? I mean, you got to have someone. I think it's absolutely important to you to be led by a higher power so you feel as if you have some responsibility, not just to man. I would never even consider it. Anybody got a problem? Problem with it? That's great. I love it when she goes like all tough. Anybody got a problem with it? Is your problem? You know, I didn't say an atheist wasn't a good person. Just you wouldn't get my vote. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
if a Christian were running for office, I don't think they'd get my vote.
If a Christian were running for office, you wouldn't vote for him. That's fair enough.
It's probably true though.
Sure.
I think I voted for Harry Brown, and I believe Harry Brown is a Christian.
Could be.
And I voted for him for president because I thought he would do a wonderful job, and I was a libertarian. But I think that it's a perfectly reasonable reason to not vote for someone because of their faith. But what I find is an interesting experiment to run.
Yes.
And this is run on a website called the ethicalatheist.com is where I'm looking at. As cool as I am with her not voting for an atheist, just imagine that she had made the same remarks about Jews.
Exactly.
Imagine she had said...
Chinese.
Chinese.
You know, Chinese are not qualified to hold the office of President of the United States. There'd be a little fuss, wouldn't there?
A little fuss, yeah.
And yet atheists, no one blinked.
No one blinked.
Yeah, you're right.
And atheists are now, non-theists are now in this country, like many times greater than the number of practicing Jews in this country. And yet they are all organized to pounce, you know.
That's
Can you imagine, for instance, if she said she wouldn't vote for a gay for president, you know, or a woman? If someone said they wouldn't vote for a woman for president, and she says, I love this, that she respects their beliefs, but she would not vote for them. I believe the only person who will back Star Jones on this I wouldn't vote for an atheist thing is me. I think that's a perfectly reasonable way to make a decision, but I'd really like it. She says further on that Jesus Christ died for her sins, and she was going to make sure that she only voted for people who believe that. So I think she does say in this letter that she wouldn't vote for a Jew.
She does say that.
She does say that. If she's saying that only with her Lord Jesus Christ. She also says that God's strength made her go back to school and made her defy her parents and refuse radiation treatments when she had an inoperable tumor.
Yeah.
And eventually led me to a surgeon who removed the tumor. So she had an inoperable tumor that was operated on with the help of God.
And a surgeon.
But she also says, which is great, that the terrorists were the personification of evil. And just as God has given us free will to do good, he gives us free will to choose evil. But don't get it twisted. She says the terrorists did not believe in God. They were not people of God.
They were absolutely people of God. They absolutely believed they were going to heaven for their actions.
Yeah, I believe so. It's really hard.
I wasn't on the plane, but that's what I've heard.
It's really hard to have stronger beliefs than those that make you kill yourself for your beliefs. I mean, the people on those planes were clearly willing to die for what they believed. So I did not confront Star Jones about her attack of atheism. And if I had known about it, see, the easy way to do here is just to go, well, I didn't know that she said about atheism.
Right, sure.
If I had known, and now I do know, next time I go on The View, I won't confront her. It's her show, you know,
right,
and
sure.
You do not play another person's game. If you're at the carny and someone says, hey, I got this great game, don't play it, you know? And that's the same thing. She has control. She has to come back the next day. She has people on her side there. You don't have a chance. And also, it's not what we're there talking about. When I go on The View, I am there to pimp my magic show. That is my job. Pimp,
and your baby.
Pimp, pimp. I use my baby to pimp the magic show.
The baby is a tool.
The baby is a tool, definitely. Because on other shows, we don't bring Moxie along, because you bring Moxie on the Bill Maher show, what does he care? You know, you bring Moxie on the other show, they don't care at all. But on that show, Moxie is a secret weapon, because before Moxie was born, the View women dealt with me like I was some sort of evil robot.
Right. Well, they seem to like you today.
Yeah, I have no.
They were your pals today.
I know, and it's all because the fact that I am that I'm now willing to reproduce, and the fact they see me love my baby, which I don't think is that remarkable. Remarkable skill. I actually thought our cups and balls routine was harder to put together than loving your baby. Loving your baby seems really, really simple. It's simple than Chris Bliss's three ball routine. Loving your baby just comes naturally. No practice required whatsoever. So I probably won't confront Star Jones. We have this friend, Margaret Downey Jr. I call her Margaret Downey Jr. Her real name is Margaret Downey. She's a good friend of ours. She's the one that sued the Boy Scouts on behalf of her son.
Right, sure.
Her son being an atheist and being getting his ass kicked out of the Boy Scouts. And she's a very, very vocal and outgoing atheist. And she's on this, you know, campaign against Star Jones. And sent her 100 pairs of Payless shoes. This is the kind of boycott I don't understand.
Star Jones is representing Payless shoes, and she sent her 100 pairs of shoes from Payless?
It's like when the chiropractors... It's like when the chiropractors boycotted us.
By coming and telling
us. By coming to our show, paying for tickets, and then telling us they were going to boycott us from then on. We have a Christian on line 6. Danny, what do you got there, Danny?
We didn't
even warn
him.
There he is.
How you doing? How you doing, boss?
Pretty good. I want to say one thing. Number one, I can't stand Star Jones, so I'm
okay.
On that.
Okay.
But as far as the conversation, I think what she was saying kind of makes sense to me in that, like, a lot of atheists that I know just don't follow. A lot of religions have common grounds of morality. I don't care if someone's a Christian, Muslim, any of that, but they kind of feel obligated to follow some sort of civilized rule.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying all atheists are crazy in them, but a lot of them just go by what they think or what they were raised in at home is acceptable and okay.
But how is that different from you going by what you were raised? Were you raised Christian?
I was raised Catholic, but I really am not a practicing, you know, I don't believe in everything.
But those who are Catholic, since you've given up that faith, don't some of them say that you don't have the rules? Like you're probably, I mean, I don't know what you've given up, but you may have given up some of the things that they believe very strongly, like no birth control or something like that. And by their point of view, you're not following those rules either.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, I can't argue that anyone has the right way about everything. But I do believe that, especially for children, that, you know, I know a lot of parents, I'm sure you know too, that are just guys that hung out with that crazy guys, and they had kids and stuff, and they're raising their kids thinking something's right when clearly they're not following anything but their own. If they were raised in the streets where they think robbing someone to get what you need is okay, that's how they raise a kid. You need it, yeah, you take it, it's yours.
Well, that's a very small subset, sect of atheists, those who believe robbing people is okay to get what you want.
I think there are Christians in that set as well.
And again, I'm not saying that it's all, and I'm cool with atheists. I don't believe in organized religion per se. But I just see that when you have someone running the country, everything that we have here, which they're trying to take away, in God we trust, and the Pledge of Allegiance, and all, I think it's going a little too far. And
do you know when the God part was added to the Pledge of Allegiance, and when it was added to the money? Do you know that was only in the 20th century? That we went for over 100 years before?
Raised in the 20th century, my generation, my parents' generation, your parents, to just all of a sudden change it now because someone just goes, oh yeah, well, we're atheists. I mean, do you really believe... As Christians, let's say our kids go to school and they got to learn about evolution. That's cool, but to say the word God in the Pledge of Allegiance is not cool, and they're going to have this big thing just to take that one word out, when every day Christian kids or Jewish kids, whatever, are being taught something totally anti-their religion.
If you say it's just the word in there, if you believe strongly in a higher power, if you believe in God, you can pray in school every second that you're there. You can talk to any of your other classmates about God any time that speaking is permitted. There's sometimes during tests and stuff we're not allowed to talk, I suppose. But I didn't go to school that long. Why does that have to be? Why does the God thing have to be done by the state? Can it be done by people? And isn't the feeling in your heart about God more important than making kids just say it by rote who maybe don't even hear the word? I mean,
I'm not that keen on the pledge at all.
Yeah, several kids in our school would say "One Nation Under Guard." You know, there was a kid next to me in school that said "One Nation Under Guard, Invisible."
Under
Todd. Yeah. But do you think they make such a big stink over it? Like, where it's all, I mean, to me, it's kind of ridiculous. We had people protesting at school and the whole.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, there's another way to think of it, and that is, you know, what's your opinion of One Nation Under Allah? I think if we change the word to Allah, we're still talking about God. We're just talking about a specific God.
I believe by saying God is everybody's God. It doesn't matter what your religion is. I'm definitely not.
Well, unless you're an atheist.
Well, yeah, but the first tenet of Islam.
Let's say you're an atheist. Your God could be a mountain, the sun, or whatever the heck it is that you think is the most beautiful thing in the world. It just, the word God can mean a lot of things. It doesn't mean just this one higher being. So I don't think they should have made, your God could be Pamela Anderson for all I care. But I don't see how they... You know what I mean? Just to make a big stink over that word.
Well, if the word can be anything, then why can't it be nothing?
I guess because it's been that way, it's been tradition, and to some people, they...
Yeah, but only 20 years.
only tradition for about 50 years. It's not tradition. I mean, certainly the founding fathers did not have the pledge in mind, or under God, or in God we trust in the coin, of the realm. They did not have that in mind at all. So if you're talking about true tradition would not have under God in there.
Tradition would be the people in this generation and the prior one that are still around, that it affects their lifestyle and their tradition. Same as holidays that are holidays now.
Uh-huh.
People have grown to live by that, and they embrace it as...
Well, I think Danny, that I've made my point, and you said what you want to say. I'll think about it some more. You think about it too, okay, Danny?
All right, cool.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
We have a Gmail here from Mark, who says that "So help me God" is not actually in the presidential oath of office. He thinks that George Washington added at the end, and others have included that out of tradition.
That's right.
So it is not in the presidential oath. It's an option.
No, and it's odd that George Washington added that, because George Washington was not a Christian in any way, shape, or form. George Washington was a deist, as many of the founding fathers were. And deist, there are no deists nowadays because of evolution. deists believed that there was some sort of power that started everything in motion and then had no contact with us whatsoever. So no God you could pray to. No God with interaction over our daily lives in any way, shape, or form. Just a prime mover is what the deists believed. So as soon as Darwin, you know, wrote Origin of the Species, the deists who thought we needed a prime mover no longer needed the prime mover,
right.
And most deists became atheists, or called themselves agnostic, like Huxley, Darwin's pit bull. And he's the guy, Huxley is the guy that I relate to, because Huxley wasn't really smart. like Wallace and Darwin. He was just argumentative and did magic. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Huxley did a little bit of magic.
Close up, did he?
Yeah. And he was the one that
there was no God, but watch this card trick.
yeah. There's no God, but you're thinking of the Seven of Diamonds. We were lousy with magicians last night at
were
the
you?
Show.
Yeah, we were too.
Yeah, you had
waist deep in them.
Yeah. They all came backstage in held court.
I left. Yeah. I don't know.
But Lance held court. Yeah, Teller was holding court too, and I left.
I had to write.
I left at the time when the guy was talking about the guy bouncing balls off the floor that had a piano keyboard and playing a song that way.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "There's two ways to do it. Some people do it with a MIDI trigger, and some people do it for real." And I went, "Okay, you're a magician. Some people produce the rabbit out of a little load bag inside their coat.
Right.
Some people do it for real. Some
people just have rabbits fly out of the air in their hands."
And it was at that point that, but it was a bunch of, okay people. You know, they were okay. But after a while, I wanted to go home.
magicians.
Yeah, they're magicians. They're great. And AJ was there. You know AJ.
AJ's great.
AJ's great.
We should have AJ on the show.
True, pure carny. You know, I should have asked him last night.
Yeah.
I should have asked him last night to be on, because AJ has fabulous stories, because AJ was born in the carnival in the U.S. and worked his whole life as a carny until he went into corporate America doing the same kind of scam.
Right, scamming people still.
Yeah, same time.
Wrote a book on how to do it, didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote a book called The Art of Schmoozing, if you get the book on tape, I read it.
Right.
And I read the book on tape, and I do some editing while I'm reading.
So we're still pimping.
We're still pimping, yeah. Although I don't get a penny.
Really?
And there's no real good pimp who doesn't get a penny out of the tricks. I'll tell you that right now. So Star Jones, I will probably not confront.
I don't blame you.
I just don't think there's anything in it. And
she's not going to change her mind. Maybe if you hit her. I'm going to advocate you actually punching her.
I don't know. You know, Star Jones.
It would be big news. It might sell a lot of tickets to the show.
Hitting Star Jones?
Yeah, I think if you punch Star Jones.
Yeah.
Maybe don't punch her hard. Just lay a little.
Yeah. So, or maybe like, you know, spit at her or something. You know, that's the kind of thing. Isn't that what like, the Sex Pistols did? Oh, swearing at her, I guess, would do it. But now everything's on a delay, so that doesn't mean anything at all. We're going to take calls. 866-313-FREE. 3733. 866-313-FREE. PennRadio@gmail.com. This is Penn Fraser Gillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, Vintage Blue Studio, sitting here talking to the great juggler, Michael Goudeau.
Thank you, sir.
Penn Gillette, Michael Goudeau here. We had a lot of phone calls, and Goudeau, you're going to have to take them. I just lost the list on my phone, but we'll take that in a moment. If you're on the phones, waiting for us to get to you, we're going to get to you presently because there's a lot of good calls I want to take. But you know, I read the news differently than some other people. You know, there's all this mosque attacks, shrine attacks in Iraq, right? And this is Muslims fighting among themselves, Shiites and Sunnis and so on. And George Bush made this statement right in the middle of it that, you know, about how they should be tolerant and all this other stuff, all the usual stuff a politician would say. And then he said that the U.S. will help rebuild the mosques and shrines, which means... American taxpaying money will be going to building shrines to Allah. Now, I can't be alone on this one. I cannot be alone. There must be some Christians who don't think tax money should go to building a shrine to Allah. Am I the only one that believes
that? We're not allowed to build churches in our own country with our government money.
I know. If we were going to use money to build a shrine to a higher power, I got to tell you, I'm going to go with Christ before I go with Allah.
At least ours.
At least one that I'm culturally attached to. I mean, I used to have a Christmas tree.
I like Christmas trees.
Sure. I mean, what? We are going to pay to build a mosque to Muslim gods? Shrines? I don't know. Now, usually I'm alone. You know, usually not even you agree with me. You sit across from me and you giggle and you're nice and I'm your boss and stuff, but usually I am standing dead alone. I have to tell these opinions to Moxie,
right,
and she comes back because I'm her father. Maybe sometime my wife comes with me, but on this one, I cannot be alone. Right. Our American's just going to go, okay, George,
well,
use that. Give all that money to all of them.
Yeah,
calm me down.
We weren't apparently indignant enough at the Dutch, and so now we have to build a mosque.
Yeah, we're going to help rebuild those because it's this pragmatism that we want to have their war calm down. So we want to build a big domed mosque. Take American money. So there's taxpayers. You know, there's these hardcore Christians who work really hard and tithe to the church and have money taken from them by taxes that then goes to build a shrine to Allah Almighty.
You think there'd be a fuss?
You think that George Bush would have a fuss? I mean, he's a Christian, right? I mean, this is one of those rare opportunities where Christians and atheists and Jews can all join together and say, hey, let's not take our money, build a shrine to Allah. But, of course, no one will agree with me on this.
No one stepped up yet.
There was a woman named Tree, right?
The Tree on line five.
Line five, Tree, come on on. What are you doing?
If we can manage to get her there. There she is. Hi, Tree, how are you?
Hello.
How you doing, Tree?
I am groovy. Good afternoon, good day. How are you today?
Hi, hi, hi.
She's calling from the 70s.
Yeah?
No,
good connection.
Actually, hello?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening.
Yeah, man, you know what? All I gotta say is thank you. I have been so wanting to get on you.
Oh, good.
I don't think she meant the radio.
Thank you.
I'm finally
breathing.
Thank
you so much, Tree. What's that?
I'm breathing, man. Listen,
okay.
I was listening to you about 3 weeks or something ago, and let me tell you, I so was just using my power. And everything you were saying was what it is and what it was. And I was, like, trying to get to you. But now is the time, and I'm here. So, hello.
Hello, Tree. How are you?
Oh, you know what? Yay! I'm a winner! Anyway, oh, wow.
You're five, six.
So, listen, I am just so full and chock full of ideas. The reason why I'm so calling is because you were talking about the view and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, put it this way. Serious, I am so funny. I did something, and it was so funny. It was a parody on The View.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for Serious, but it's it was done once. It was like the beginning of December,
uh-huh.
And I took a limo to Serious Studios, and
uh-huh.
I did an amazing show. And it was a parody on The View, and I played a character, and it was amazing. And
which character did you play? Which one of the View women were you?
Oh, please. I was, put it this way, I was so just me. I was Angel, actually. It was a parody on
okay.
The View. It's called The Crack Whore View.
Okay. You got the title
role.
Put it
this way. No, serious, man.
Okay.
I mean, I want it to be, I'll put it this way, I'm going through withdrawals right about now.
Uh-huh.
And,
that's
so
not an extraordinary
oh my
claim.
Gosh. You know what, Penn, this is amazing. I am just so like, wow.
Well, thank you so much,
Trina. Yay. All right, so listen, let me give topics.
Okay.
You're talking about, right now you're talking about the, I don't know, something about God and atheism.
Something about shrines and stuff like that. But thanks a lot for calling, Tree. Thank you so much. We're going to go to another
sure.
call.
Why don't
we go
to line six? How about line six?
Line
Brendan
six,
from
we got.
Jersey.
I think Tree said she was going through withdrawals. Slowly. Who's there?
It's Brendan.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Ben. Can you hear me?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I want to go back to the View thing with... that pig of a human being, what's your face? What's your name again?
Well,
anyway,
I hate to answer that question because I'm calling
that's
her a pig.
Trap.
But I believe you might mean Star Jones, is that right?
Yes, Star Jones, that awful human waste. Anyway, here's my point. I'm an atheist. Actually, I'm a nihilist atheist. And
oh, wow.
I know one guy said a comment
that's
a while ago
man.
About how atheists want to rob people and beat them up and they don't believe in anything.
Uh-huh.
But really what my statement is this. If you look at it, there's no one is more objective than an atheist because we have no real true bias against anyone. We just don't accept that there's God, but we also at the same time can be the most objective people when dealing with all situations, because we have no filters. We have no,
The big thing is that the difference between those who are religious and those who aren't is objective and subjective. Everyone who believes in God always says it comes somehow from within. It's their feeling, whereas atheists always say it's the objective world outside. It's a scientific view. But why a nihilist, man? Why this nihilist?
You know, because nihilism, I mean, I'm in college now, and I was in the military, too, and I just, like, read a lot of Friedrich Nietzsche. I was in the Army, and also in college, especially.
Well, Friedrich Nietzsche in the Army is one of my favorite movies. I think Pauly Shore starred in that.
No, but, you know, it's, here's the thing. It's like, I really have nothing against, you know, I've been atheist for years. Uh-huh. But I just think that if people were more educated, would learn more and be more open, I think they would discover a whole world out there that would really appeal to them. And this whole... God thing, it's ruining the earth. It really is.
It's certainly doing a lot of damage. When you were you in the Army? Were you an atheist?
I went in 2000, right out of high school. I graduated 2000, and I was a Christian at the time. I guess I was basically agnostic, but now
What did your dog tag say? Did they say Christian?
Oh yeah, it did. It's a Catholic. I was Catholic. Uh-huh.
And then the Army opened your eyes. Then you said you went to college after the Army?
Yeah, right now I'm in can I say the college?
Sure.
I'm in Montclair State University in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I just read more and more, and my girlfriend is she's semi-religious. My parents are semi-religious. Everyone I know is kind of religious, but
Well, you're in the minority, but it's a growing minority. And if you were a Nobel Prize winner, you'd be in the majority. So you're doing okay.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
You want to jump on to line 8? Let's try Steve.
Yeah, let's go Steve, line 8.
Steve on line 8 seems pretty interesting.
Glad that you're actually on the radio talking about atheism, because it's such a rare thing these days. And I'm also glad I didn't have to follow Tree, because how could you follow that?
I know. Well, Tree, Tree just had she said
a good time.
I mean, we're not making a joke about it. She said she was going through withdrawal, so if she sounded a little bit high, she may very well have been. I mean, we're not. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I think she said it outright.
Hey, so my point was, it seems like theists and Christians and all of are just so live in fear that atheists, you know, if they were to have a larger position in society, would just, you know, be having sex with their children and dogs, and there'd be no morality at all.
That's the aristocrats.
They don't have this fear of this, you know, big, you know, ghost up in the sky that's going to smite them. But really, I mean, I think, you know, if you believe in evolution, which I happen to, I think we evolved as tribal humanoids, and these tribes really had to stay together, and they stayed together by doing things that were quote unquote moral, not having, you know, sex with their children, not killing each other, not stealing from each other, having sort of these strong moral that they call moral now. But these things, I think, evolved with us, and it's only later that they got kind of turned into this, well, you need to be this way because otherwise this big, you know, thing in the sky will smite you. Smote you or whatever it is.
I had trouble with that verb too. A lot of people agree with you. I think Daniel Dennett's new book that's coming out is all about that. All about the evolutionary backings of religion and of morality. And Richard Dawkins covers that in several of his books, but also his TV specials in England.
One other thing I wanted to quickly mention is I've always kind of thought of myself as agnostic, because I think atheism requires too much faith. Because you really can't know that there's no God.
Well,
you can't know
that's
that
actually what we'd be arguing about then is the definition of the word.
Right.
The word agnostic means it is impossible to know one way or the other. Once you've said agnostic, you then either operate as a theist or an atheist. So it's really answering a different question. So there's not really something in between atheist and theist. You either live your life as though there were a God, or you live your life without a God. And so those are two different things. But I think you're very clearly what you're talking about is atheism. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and take some more calls. And thank you, Tree. Good luck in coming down. Mary L. Mary L. Hemingway, right?
That's right.
I didn't mean Margot. I guess the other day I said that I met Margot Hemingway. She was very, very, very attractive. And I never met Margot Hemingway. She may have been, when alive, very attractive. She may be now really attractive dead.
But I don't want to. Mariel.
I don't want to have a closed mind at all. Mariel Hemingway. She came to our show, and I was, I was just, well, not smitten. You know, I wasn't,
smote.
It was just that I thought she was very, very, very attractive.
Well, that's a good thing.
But you said you met her and didn't think so.
Well, thanks for bringing that up.
No,
I met her a very long time ago. It was, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, I would have probably met her
at a gym in Canada.
At a gym in Canada, you didn't think she was attractive?
At that time, no.
Well, you like busty brunettes.
Yes.
She was
exactly.
Neither.
Skinny blonde. So, you know, it didn't do it for me.
She was a skinny blonde, but her
everybody's
face.
Got different
I'm talking about her face. She has that kind of Debbie Harry nice face.
Yeah.
I think so.
Sure.
I think so. I thought she was really good looking. There's certain people that the camera is kind
straight from
to.
Debating the mosques being put up to Mariel Hemingway's
that's
looks.
That's what Free FM is all about. Free FM goes from God to sex in a burp. Just instantly. No change whatsoever. 866-313-FREE.
Hey, let's take the caller on line 6. So this is Brent.
Okay, Brent. How you doing, man?
Good. I've been trying to get through for a while. You kind of touched on what I was talking about before with the other guy that was on just before me, but I've always been in a philosophical debacle because I can't prove there's not a God, and I hate calling myself agnostic, but I mean, effectively, like you were saying, I mean, I function as an atheist because I completely don't believe in sin or Christianity or any of the organized religions that exist. So, I mean, do you think functionally I'm okay calling myself an atheist?
Well, no, I think this is a very hard thing to understand, and the reason it's hard to understand is because Tom Huxley, who I was raving about in the 19th century, is my hero, who was Darwin's pit bull, specifically lied about it in order not to anger the Wedgwood a fortune, which was where Darwin's money came from. And so he didn't want to use the word atheist, so he used the word agnostic, essentially saying, if you don't know, if you can't prove there's a God, then you're agnostic. But the proof of the matter, the real definition of agnostic, the way I like to use it, and it has changed over the years, but the way I like to use it is as only a belief about knowledge. So when you are agnostic, you are saying, I don't believe it's possible to know for sure whether there's a God. Or true agnosticism is, I don't believe it's possible to know for sure anything. And then what your default setting is whether it's atheist or theist. So once you're agnostic, you can be agnostic and be Catholic. You can be agnostic and be Muslim. You can be agnostic and be atheist. But you got to be one of them. You know, you got to be something.
I think and, so effectively, I would be atheist and agnostic.
Yeah. Yeah, you're an atheist and an agnostic. Me, I'm not agnostic. I think it is possible to know about the universe, and I think that we know that with science, and that there's no evidence whatsoever of God. But that's a perfectly, you have a very sound philosophical position. And you now know what to say, at least if you're talking to me. Because as I said, you know, the English language is changing all the time, and the word agnostic has kind of come into use as being kind of this parking place between atheist and theist. I don't like to use it that way. I tend to be rather pedantic about how it's used. But those who are pedantic about language always get left behind. I will lose this battle in terms of the words. But the ideas, I think we're pretty solid. Thanks a lot, boss.
That was a good call.
Yeah, it was nice. Now, I want to address the morality thing because a couple of the callers talked about this.
We talked about it once, but I think we should talk about it again. It can't hurt.
And that is that there is an argument, and it's an argument that I subscribe to, but I wouldn't push because you can lose taking this part of this argument. but I don't know if morality is possible with religion. I don't know if you can be moral if you believe in a God. And the reason is that morality is supposed to be doing the right thing for people around you, and you cannot do that. It's not for the sake of it being right if you're doing it with the possibility of reward
under
and punishment.
Under duress, sure.
Under duress. So if a Christian decides to do something nice for you, they're going to get their reward in heaven. They are being paid for it. If an atheist does something nice for you, he may be just doing it because it's the right thing to do. And under my definition of morality, morality is doing the right thing without fear of reward, I mean, without anticipation of reward or fear of punishment.
Sure.
So there is an argument that was made, that has been made several times about that. And I like that argument, but then what you're talking about then is social engineering. Many people, even atheists, believe that it's good for a lot of people to believe in God because that threat of reward and punishment does give a better behavior to people around. I don't think there's any evidence of that, but it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Perfect 10 in their lawsuit against Google. You been following this?
No, I have not.
Not at all. Well, Google has their image search, right?
Sure.
And I guess if you put in something that that will feed back, you know, I don't know what you put in, Perfect 10, perhaps.
Right.
It pops up pictures from the Perfect 10 website that are copyrighted. So this is a very, very, very big deal.
Right.
Because Google's mission is to organize the data of the world. And Perfect 10 has said that they don't want their data to be organized by Google. They want you to have to go and pay for it. And I am all for copyright laws. I'm all for paying for,
sure,
for content. I'm very much for that. But, you know, when you go to Amazon and search my book, if you go to Amazon and search Sock, the whole text is in there, because I believe that having my entire book searchable does not hurt my rights at all. That it just, and of course you can with Amazon opt out. You can say I don't want them to search my books. But Perfect 10 comes to mind because I remember we had the Perfect 10.
And
we
the Perfect
did
10 girls on for a magic trick, yes.
And the big thing on Perfect 10 is they come on and they carry on about how we are 100% natural.
Yeah.
Nothing is being changed. We are 100% natural.
And you know what they're referring to specifically.
Exactly, but they don't say that. And every one of them had hair that was dyed,
right.
I think. Everyone that we had on our show.
All had orthodontia.
They all had orthodontia, yeah. They all had fillings in their teeth, you know. I asked one of them, she'd had foot surgery. Okay? If you're talking about women that are perfect genetic, foot surgery is not on the list. All they're talking about is breasts.
Yes.
That's it. But they will not say that. It should not say perfect. And also, the whole idea of Perfect 10. The movie 10 gave us that she's
sure,
a 10 thing.
Sure.
And the movie 10 was supposed to be about a pig. Dudley Moore was not supposed to be the person we want to be, you know? So when people put things on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10,
putting things on a scale from 1
to 10 is just evil. I think it's really evil.
Load the joke onto the truck, Mr. Gillette.
So I don't like the scale of 1 to 10
that.
At all. And I don't like calling these women Perfect 10. And I don't like saying that because someone has gotten surgery, that's somehow something to be ashamed of, you know? And I'm not one that says that everybody should have breast augmentation, but I think it would certainly help you, Michael Godot. I think you'd be so much more attractive sitting across from me. Do you know The Wiz in town? Have you met him?
No.
The Wiz, the guy with the $100,000 breasts?
No.
This guy? I forgot.
Oh, this is the bet guy.
Yeah, the bet
guy. Right, I've heard about him.
He does
yeah,
proposition bets. And he was bet $100,000 that he wouldn't get a set of, I think double Ds or Ds, I don't know what the exact size were, breasts put in and wear them for a year. And the person who bet him had to pay for the surgery and pay for the removal surgery, and if he kept them in a year, give him $100,000. And I'd read about him and I'd seen pictures of him. He's been on TV and stuff. But I'd never met him in person. And over at Fry's, where many of my adventures begin and end, over at Fry's, I bumped into him in the aisle. And it's the coolest looking person because he looks like a regular guy. There's nothing. He's got like your haircut, you know. He's got like your 5 o'clock shadow. He's a regular guy, regular build.
Fred Flintstone with breasts.
And then he's got a set of knockers, you know. And the great thing is he's wearing like a tracksuit, you know, and you kind of look, and it's really obvious that he has not just breasts, but really nice breasts. And so I asked him, you know, it's been more than a year now. It's been like 6 years he's had him in.
Brian's his name.
You don't have his last name?
I don't.
You went to all that work and just found Brian?
Well, you know, that's all I found.
And I bumped into him at Fry's, and the big story was he kept them longer than a year because he said it was so great. Every bar he went into, women, he said he had more success with women than he'd ever had before. He could just, you know, he'd talk to them. They'd want to, like, caress his breasts and stuff. So Brian, the Wiz, kept the breasts. And I asked him how long he was going to, what other proposition bets he was doing, because this is all he does for a living. his proposition bets. He, like, lived in a restroom.
He lived in a bathroom for a month.
A month. He does
for
all this
$30,000.
For $30,000. And he also will gain weight and lose weight. Like, you can bet him.
He's also apparently a ping pong shark.
Yeah, ping pong shark. And he's a good poker player and a fabulous close-up magician. He's a great
to give
guy.
Up one of his eyeballs for $1 million.
Really?
That's what it says here.
Oh. He's one of the greatest guys in the world. If you want to talk about people taking control of their life, it's this guy. And he has really nice breasts, you know, really attractive breasts. We wanted to get him on Sin City because we feel he could be topless, right?
He couldn't be in the perfect 10, though.
Could be, exactly my point.
It was a different trick.
And that's why there's more beauty to people who take control of their life. People also, I wonder if they let the perfect 10 women get tattoos. They probably do. They're only talking about breasts. So I talked to him, and he said he loves his breasts, but he's got a few proposition bets. One involves going to, like, quadruple F, to, like, you know, three times the size for the breasts for, like, you know, $75,000, which he doesn't think is enough. But he also might get them out because he said his daughter, who's 5 years old, is going to start going to school, and he's afraid she might be embarrassed by having a dad with big silicone breasts. Or I'm saying they're silicone. They may be saline bags. I don't know. But and I said, does your daughter like them? He said, oh, yeah, she loves them. You know, she's got two mother's breasts to cuddle against, two Madonna and child. But that's the whiz. So the perfect 10 women who are okay with any sort of surgery whatsoever, I swear some of them had nose jobs, you know. But the breasts, you know, no Tupperware under the skin of the chest.
Okay.
They were on our show. Maybe we did this. We did a really cool trick.
Cool trick with them, yeah.
A really cool trick. And they were good. But now the Perfect 10 people have sued Google. And I guess, you know, I don't know the court stuff that well. Next time Lawrence O'Donnell's on, we'll ask him all about it. But the court said, issued a statement that said to Google, you're probably going to lose.
Wow. That's nice of the court to take that time and save them that money.
Yeah, and Google is going to appeal.
If it's a pay site, how can you get access to it through Google? I didn't realize you could bypass their walls that way.
I guess you kind of can. I guess you can.
Well,
see.
I've learned something very valuable today, then. I am dumping my subscription to the Perfect 10 and just using Google.
Well, not anymore. You needed to have that information a few
yesterday.
Weeks ago.
Sure, yeah. Couldn't tell me yesterday. Huh?
They've taken it off here. But, you know, I have such a strong... You had something to say about Google, about the Google in China thing. You were ranting about this off the air. You want to rant about it on the air?
No, I don't want to rant about it on the air.
You don't?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're running Google in China, you have to operate by China's laws. If you're running a restaurant in China, you have to operate by their laws. When you run a Chinese restaurant here, you have to abide by the laws of the United States. Why would it be different for Google? Well, I mean...
With Google being hardcore freedom fighters in the U.S.,
yes.
But not hardcore freedom fighters in China.
I think they don't have that option if they want to do business there.
So McDonald's doesn't serve beef in India.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
No, it wasn't so hard.
Why were you so afraid to say that?
Well, you know, I don't know. I just don't want to get in trouble with Google. You know, they're my pals.
How do you get in trouble with someone for backing them?
Well, you know, I'm just an idiot, actually, is the problem. I rant about this, and then 10 seconds later, I've forgotten. And so when you start talking to me about it, I go, what is he talking about? I've never said anything about Google in China, and I'm perfectly willing to deny it, and now you force it out of me. And fortunately, I remembered at the last possible moment.
So instead of admitting you were forgetful, you decided to make it a moral and ethical issue.
Yes, I thought that would be a better call.
I wonder how many people do that. I wonder how many people just don't know and just say, I wonder if that's like where all the taboos of religion come from. Are we supposed to eat pork ever? No, I don't. Where's the pork? Where'd you leave the bacon, Godot? Where's the bacon?
Bacon is wrong. You cannot eat bacon.
You were supposed to pick up the bacon bring it to us here.
No. The Lord spoke to me as...
You lost it.
I left it at the store. I traded it for bacon.
Ben Gillette and the very forgetful Michael Godot, who does love Google. And we love the Wiz with his big, fake breasts.
FM. 105.9 WCKG. Freeman. Chicago's Free FM. When headlines break,
a New York woman is accused of robbing a bank disguised in a dog hair beard.
The Steve Zahl Show keeps you informed on your way home.
26-year-old Anissa Gasparo allegedly shaved her dog,
glued the hair to her face,
but she made off with $1,100 after handing the teller a note demanding cash and claiming she had a gun.
$1,100 and she got caught, and now she has a shaved dog and probably a dog beard she can't get off right now.
It's Steve Zahl, afternoons 2 to 7 on 105.9 WCKT Free FM.
What is it, Bob?
You can take this job.
Yeah, take this job and shove it. So you're quitting, huh?
Yep.
I bet you're going to start your own business.
Right.
What do you know about starting a business? You're going to buy a business, start from scratch? How about startup money?
Well...
You even know where to get startup money?
Yeah, my brother.
Got a business plan? Can't raise money to start a business without a business plan.
I can't.
You're pathetic. You need...